We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Broadcasting from the Shaw's Star Market Studios, the home of Dale and Keith, middays 10 to 2. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station. NFL Sunday on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zooty. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details. NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Hour number two of NFL Sunday, Keefe, Fourier, and Wiggy here with you. It is the Patriots season finale. The 6-9 Patriots against the 2-13 New York Jets today, who, because of some wins in the last few weeks, are now not going to have the number one overall pick. So they played themselves out of Trevor Lawrence, or maybe Justin Fields, depending on who you feel now after watching some college football over the weekend, I suppose. we'll talk with Tommy Kern coming up here momentarily. But, guys, I'm curious for you, when you were playing in Fourier, I know when you were in Seattle, you were on a lot of, like, 500, just above, just below teams.
Yeah.
How many times did either of you guys go into Week 17, or even maybe even Week 15, 16, 17, knowing that playoffs weren't even a possibility anymore, and did anything change for you, or did anything kind of, did the mindset for the team change? Like, could you tell a difference at all when you were preparing for it and playing in the game?
Well, personally, for me, yes, because it didn't necessarily mean we played well. I mean, hell, we made it into the playoffs one year at 9-7, and we lost our last game. It was that situation, Rich and Wiggs. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, we win. Listen, here's what you'll hear. We control our own destiny, right? We kept saying that all week. Oh, we control our own destiny. Well, we did. We lost the game. Sure enough, the Raiders are playing the Kansas City Chiefs. And one of the other scenarios is, hey, Seahawks get in with a win or a Raider loss
A
Chiefs loss. Well, sure enough, we're in the locker room and we're all bummed out. Next thing you know, we're watching the Chiefs and the Raiders play. And sure enough, the Raiders are beating the Chiefs, are coming back and beating. So we're all bummed out. Our bags are packed. Nobody's getting on the bus. It went from, hey, you know, exit physicals Monday to playoff prep against the Dolphins. It was amazing how quickly we're all wearing a T-shirt after a loss. It was the weirdest thing ever. Hey, it was like, oh, my God, we suck. Oh, wait, no, we don't. And we had a home game. So, no, I always thought it's funny the last 2 weeks of the season, it's, well, we control our own destiny, that whole line. You hear that all the time. Like the Browns, the Titans, you see all the different scenarios,
we'll get into all the playoff scenarios. There's a bunch. Some of it's pretty easy, though, but we'll get into that coming up. But joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline is Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston. Tom, Happy New Year. Good morning. How are you?
Happy New Year. I'm tremendous. How are you guys doing?
Hey, good. Hello.
Tommy. Doing good. Tom, I'm curious your thoughts on Bill Belichick's really admiration for Adam Gase. And I know this isn't a new thing. He has spoke highly of Adam Gase in the past. And I just find it funny because, again, Bill knows a ton about football and we're just sitting here watching it. But he seems like the worst coach and a guy who players don't really like, and he hasn't made better, specifically quarterbacks, post Peyton Manning. I'm curious, what do you think about Bill's relationship with Adam Gase?
I think it's one of those in the circle type relationships. So we always have to weigh what Bill says and trace it back to, okay, why is this person singled out for a level of praise, whereas another guy who seems accomplished might not be? And I think over the course of time, we all do that. When Bill says something, we wonder if there's a motivation behind it. And in the case of Adam Gase, he came up with Nick Saban. He worked alongside Josh for a period of time, including in Denver, and Belichick cited those things. And I think that he and Gase, Bill and Gase, have, because of those relationships, developed a friendship. Now, that's not to say that Adam Gase could be a blithering idiot and Bill would still say he's got a lot of talent, but I think that when he sees a guy taking on water, as Gase certainly has the last couple of years as a head coach, he'll throw him a life preserver if he's a friend. I really think that Gase gets unfairly hammered because, you know, this is a guy who was head coach in Miami, took that team to the playoffs after it hadn't been for a while. They tried to renovate that team, got rid of a bunch of good players who they thought were pains in the ass, dipped, and then dipped again. But they didn't have great talent there when they have Frank Gore and Danny Amendola as their leading rusher and receiver in 2018. So to me, Gase is not nearly as bad as people have flavored him to be. And we don't want to go on and on with Adam Gase's record, but suffice to say, it's not as bad as the propaganda.
You know, Tom, is it fair to say that coaching's been a bigger problem than any other year in the past, specifically the defensive side of the football?
I don't know, because it's wild to me, Christian. I thought that the Matt Rhules and Kevin Stefanski's would have Joe Judge would have incredible, difficulty coming in this year as first-year coaches with no offseason and having success. Those guys have had success. Defensively, yeah, this is the highest-scoring season in NFL history. You'd have to really get into the weeds to figure out.
No, well, I mean, I should have been more specifically with the Patriots. Like the Patriots, because I look at the I should have been mentioned them, but I look at them and I'm like, all right, they've had an unbelievable amount of boneheaded, like, you know, football 101 mistakes, like the little things, you know, that I feel
administrative.
Administrative, you know, guys, personnel, you know, substitutions. I mean, when I look at some of the issues, we keep looking at Cam Newton and the offense, but I feel like the one that's getting a pass is the defense and the coaches that are responsible for handling the defense.
Yeah, they have floundered. When we look at the opt-outs, there are more opt-outs of significant players, I think, on that side of the ball, generally. I mean, Hightower's your brain, and then you lose Chung. I am excuse-making. But I think at that linebacker level, you know, Byron Cowart's in. He's never been there before. You don't have really great. I mean, people might buy Chase Winovich jerseys, but he is not anybody who's going to make an offensive coordinator nervous going into a week. You have to account for him, but he's not going to make anybody sweat. They're not a very good defense. And if Stephon Gilmore leaves and in a year or two Devin McCourty retires, you know, you have definitely Kyle Duggar, perhaps Josh Uche. I don't know who you have on the edges. I don't know if Hightower's back. So, yeah, there's a lot of roster stuff. And then coaching-wise, you can't have that kind of performance at the linebacker level and in the front and say that there's no problem over there. So, yeah, it's a bad team right now. It's a really bad team here on January 3rd, 2021. We'll see how long they stay bad.
Tom, I know this next question might come off as excuse making, but I look at it as one of those things where, you know what, you all of a sudden you got this test that you have to prepare for, and suddenly the power goes off in your house. When you look at this season for Bill Belichick, Is he getting a pass because of everything that went on with the COVID and, you know, basically the whole offseason being shut down and training camp and all the protocols and restrictions that were put in place? And do we look as next season as his real, like, hey, your power's back on. You have plenty of time to study for this test. Now it's time for you to show us what you really are and see if you can turn this thing around and get it right.
Yeah, I think he gets... I think we've been hard on him this year. I think that locally, we have certainly put his feet to the fire. I think nationally, there's more people who say, hey, hey, what's going on up in Boston? Guys are all over Bill after 20 years of success. Well, certainly, yes. But I think there's also been people ringing the bell since 2016 and 17 and saying, this roster's not getting any better. And as a result, that's why I think that we're a little bit hasty, and people like they were just successful 20 years. Well, they were, but this didn't start in 2021. But you're right. I mean, it's a hammer shot to the jaw to lose Hightower and Chung and Brandon Bolden and Marcus Cannon. Maybe Lacoste would have had some kind of relevance for them. Danny Vitale was a fullback who could have had some relevance. So all those things factor in. Yeah, and the quarterback having COVID factors in. Now it's still curious as to, you know, what exactly led to a sheltered and quarantined quarterback in Cam Newton contracting COVID in September, and then Stephon Gilmore and all the dynamics that led to that happening. But as time has passed, many people and quarterbacks have contracted it as well. So, but that was the first one, but it certainly didn't help. So there are reasons to look at this team and say they might not be as bad as 6-9. But there's also a reason to say, I think, as you're saying, Wiggy, next year is an important year. But where are they starting from? You guys answer me this. Where are they starting from in a position of strength? And that includes guys who are free agents or not free agents.
I'd say at the bottom.
I mean, is
wait,
the
wait, wait, what do you mean? What do you mean? Like, where are they starting from as far as, so if I'm a free agent, I'm looking at this team.
No,
going,
no,
okay,
no.
Are you talking about the talent on this team that will be coming back?
Like, is the offensive line a position of strength when Andrews and Tooney are both up?
No. No, because that's a good point. So I think what you're asking us is, when you look at this foundation headed into next year, what is their strength, right? Is that what you're kind of asking us?
Yeah, exactly right. Yep.
Right. And I would
say
at the bottom.
Do you have a young core, all those things?
I would think at the bottom. That's why I said, and I've asked this question a million times over, and you know, I've asked you, Tom, I said, how important is this offseason for him to really put some pieces in place, and you know, whether that's through free agency, which I hope he does, and the draft, to say, okay, here is some of our building core, and here's the direction that we're headed in.
Yes, it is the most important offseason since last offseason, you know, the post-Brady one. Yeah, but I think that to have avoided getting here, you had to have better offseasons prior, whether it be a tight end, quarterback, wide receiver. And it feels weaselly sometimes to continue to point out those spots because you feel as if, well, those are the spots that score fantasy points. So are we overly enamored with those spots as being ones to focus on? And then on the flip side, you say, well, maybe that's just us having been brainwashed by Bill that you don't need those spots to be talented.
And yeah, I think there's definitely some of that. I mean, you see, it's not all Stephon Diggs, but you look at the Bills' offense this year, and that is a pretty significant difference.
Right.
All of a sudden, their quarterback looks like an MVP. Diggs is leading the league in everything, and that was a trade, a first and a third-round pick. They got a receiver who we talked about last year a bunch of times. Like, we knew he was going to be available. He was saying all this stuff about Minnesota. Patriots said, no thanks, we're not going to trade for him. They didn't trade for DeAndre Hopkins. Like, there's been guys on the move, and they haven't done it, and I think that's going to be a fascinating position to see what they do. There's a handful of good free agents this offseason. But they've never, Tom, really paid big money at receiver. I'm trying to think, who's the highest paid wide receiver that they've ever had? Was it
Amendola,
Moss?
Right?
Was it Amendola? Who was it?
Well, Moss came via trade.
Right.
And that was really shepherded through by Mike Lombardi.
Right.
Wasn't it?
But I'm just saying, even if it was a trade, like who took up the most?
I think Amendola.
Salary cap. Was it Amendola? Yeah.
Yeah, $27.5 million. I mean, and Braxton Berrios is a Amendola incarnate. We'll see today, who's the second lead receiver for the Jets. And
yeah,
you know, no one was crying any tears when Braxton Berrios left. But if he came here now, you'd say, "Well, this guy can make a difference."
I know.
So it's wild, and yeah, if you're a wideout though, Christian and Wiggy. As tight ends,
mm-hmm.
if you were a free agent right now and you were offered by the Patriots and the team that happened to be 9-7 with a better and more established quarterback situation, what would be your impetus to coming here?
Who's paying me more?
What about what's – yeah.
Don't matter. Well, Who's paying me more?
I think you what guys kind of like
– things are equal.
Well, if the things are equal, then you go to the team. Well,
right.
I think there's a lot of variables, but I think with free agents, if you finally hit free agency after being drafted or being restricted and then picking up and you're finally officially free agent, you get to that point. You want to make as much money as you can.
Right.
Like that's the first thing in your mind. Okay, who's going to pay me the most? So you travel around and you realize, all right, crap, this guy's like, and then you end up making decisions that are less, you know, favorable as far as, you know, your lifestyle because they're mm-hmm. paying you more. And it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, we got a good opportunity to win. You know when that starts coming into play when you're older and you're willing to take a ton less and, listen, I've already made my money. Where can I go to win? Like, but initially, like, Tooney, you think Tooney's going to sit there and say, oh, you know, I want to right. I want to make sure I play in the Midwest? No, right. Who's paying you the most? Andrews? No, who's paying
Alan
you the
Robinson,
most?
Allen yeah. Robinson made a crap ton of money, right? So – he's in Chicago. He's going to be a free agent. Does he say,
Yeah, but he wants that next big deal, though. But he's still one of those
guys.
Yeah,
but do I want to go to New England? I've made a crap ton of money. Do I want to go to New England and be a 51-catch, 877-yard
receiver? He's only played for bad quarterbacks. He's probably
right.
dying to go play for
right,
somebody
but,
good.
But his biggest thing is going to be like, his biggest thing is, it's like everybody knowing that that last deal, and I don't know how old Allen Robinson is, but you look at it, it's going to be about the money for him because he feels like, all right, wherever I go, my talent is good enough, I'm going to elevate that quarterback.
Right.
Unless it's a guy like Christian said, you know, unless it's a Larry Fitzsosh, yeah, so he hasn't made that much money. Unless it's like a Larry Fitzgerald who's played, you know, 16, 17 years, and it's like, well, you know, the guy's a free agent, he's not going to make a lot of money, or he could take less to go to a contender. That's, you know, so a guy like Allen Robinson or Juju or a Galladay or a Will Fuller, those guys are going to go wherever the money is. That could be Jacksonville. They're going to go down there with a smile.
To me, it's really hard for the Patriots and especially for Bill and his pro personnel department because they're looking at a situation where they've always had, whether it was Moss or Troy Brown or Gronkowski and for a blip Hernandez and then Deion Branch and Amendola and Edelman, they've already had a player in place that they could say, you know, this guy at wideout, if he works, he works. If he doesn't, we still got Brady and Gronk. We still got Brady right. and Edelman. We still got Brady and Welker. Now they have to find their number one out there, their best game-changing guy that, hey, it's 3rd and 5. We're going to take it with this guy, and you can't stop us. They don't have him. In the past, it's been, you know, let's go get Torrey Holt or Reggie Wayne or Dontrell Inman or Marquise Lee or whoever else they'll cycle through and bring him in. And Maurice Harris, that didn't work. Okay, well, you know, we still right. got these other
if
guys.
If you're going to play the stock market game, but with players, with real humans, if based on the young players, no more than 2 years, no more than 3 years,
mm-hmm.
Who would you take, Tom? Like, who would you say has the best opportunity to exceed expectations and be that stock that kind of surprises everybody and that is split and everybody's making millions? Like, what players
on
would
the
you
Patriots?
Pick? On the Patriots, yeah. The young guys, no more than 3 years. The young
sure.
football players. Who would you say is like a good stock to bet on?
I mean, it's some of them are pretty easy. Onwenu Duggar and
yep.
You know,
Damian Harris,
and Damian Harris is going to be an excellent leader, and he's going to be a good player here for a long time. You know, you'd love to be able to say win Harry and Michelle, any one of them, all first round yeah. picks between 18 and 19. But I was writing up our preview, and I just realized of the 48 possible games that the very capable Isaiah Wynn could have played, he's played 18 in his NFL career. 18.
Right. Wow.
Even the best of the three. And I like Michelle, too. I don't think he's a horrible player. He's going to have relevance here for the rest of his rookie contract, but they just can't catch a friggin' break.
Tom, another stock market question, a follow-up question real quick, because I'm actually a fan of Black Monday on, I believe it's Showtime or HBO. It's a very good show about...
Don Cheadle?
Yeah, Don Cheadle.
It's a tremendous, excellent show.
Tremendous show, so... Christian asked the stock market, who do you bet on or who would you put the money on? My thing is, when they go into this offseason being stock market and saying, how much are we willing to spend? Do they like that more and more from Trading Places? You spend, you spend, you spend. Do they finally change? Does Bill finally change who he is or evolve on who he is and saying, we might have to spend some money to get those players that we want to come here because of them just wanting that cash?
100%. He absolutely will. I've had indications from folks that I've spoken to down there that he intends to be extremely aggressive.
Oh.
And one of the interesting things, too, is they've already got about $60 million in space. When you throw in Gilmore and Hightower as well, if those players are not here next year, that's really about another $15 to $18 million in cap space that would conceivably be freed up. So there's a lot of money. Now, whether or not they hit is... I
think
they're going to be aggressive. And Bill really indicated. And one other thing, too, Wiggy, he can't sit there. It's just not him. The pride of who he is, what he's built, he's not going to sit there and listen to people like Christian and me and Lou, Reese, whoever else, Volan, Henry McKenna, just grilling him on these WebEx conference calls about why the team stinks. He is a football deity. He has risen to the level where presidents and generals cite him as being an example of a great American. And he's got to sit on these WebEx calls and listen to us
presidents
say
and generals.
So true.
Yeah, it's been a while since you drafted anybody good, Bill. He's just you got to be kidding me. Tom, who do you think is more likely to be on the Patriots roster next season, Cam Newton or Jarrett Stidham?
Jarrett Stidham, 100%.
Oh, wow.
I mean, why would you cut him, honestly?
Well, they don't like him. They won't even play him when their starting quarterback's playing terribly. That I'm wondering what's the point of even having him on the roster. I can see them going rookie and a different veteran. What?
It's not a matter of don't like, it's don't trust.
Okay, same.
To go back down, I got to talk about that play from the other night one more time.
Which one?
And I retweeted it again yesterday.
The one where he threw behind the line of scrimmage?
Loves this fumble throw that Stidham just like tossed it in the dirt.
He's
loves
like, what am
play.
I going to do with this football? Let me just throw it behind me. I don't need it. Get rid of it.
I mean, there was a guy named Dane Brugler who's a draft analyst. He's really good.
Yeah.
And when we were talking about Stidham a few years ago, he said, well, he has inconsistent reactions to pressure. Perfect example. We've seen Stidham stand in there in his cameos this year, and sometimes he'll take the hit. He'll wait. He'll know that he's going to get drilled and throw it. On this play last week, it's a screen to N'Keal Harry. Justin Heron misses the block. 57 for Buffalo comes in. So Stidham's like, well, this play's blown up. Still, he glances downfield like there might be some kind of activity down there. It's a screen. There's nothing going on. He comes back, and then instead of just either throwing it into the fourth row or just skipping it at Harry's feet, he tries to avoid the on-rushing 57 by dropping his arm angle and throwing it. And in doing that, he avoids 57, even though a million people on social media said he did. He might have tipped it. He didn't. I spent enough friggin' time rewinding it.
Yeah, you watched it.
And he threw it backwards. It was a fumble. Didn't make a difference in the game, but the point is, this is the guy they were actually conceivably thinking could be the starting quarterback this year. It's late December, and he's throwing the ball backwards because he panicked. It's nuts.
And you think this is the guy that 100%?
Yeah, you got him on the team.
I just
year.
Don't think he's going to get cut.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Tom, now this is a game. Last thing for me, this is a game where again the Jets—they're hot right now. And this game is pretty significant as far as draft position is concerned, isn't it? I mean, if they win this game, you're picking in sort of the middle. But if you lose this game, we could be looking at a top 10 pick.
when you look at what teams will give up on draft day to jump up 2, 3, or 4 places for the player they love, yeah, this is a big game. And for a team that, let's not forget, got absolutely ransacked for a draft pick from that Cincinnati bullcrap last year.
Yeah.
These things matter. So you don't want to lose, but when you see the number of players, Shaq Mason, David Andrews, Damian Harris, Wynn's not coming back, Edelman's not coming back, Gilmore's down, Devin went on the injury report later in the week. I think they're licking the stamp a little bit as the week went on. The guys out there are going to try to win.
Yeah.
But they're also keeping the guys who could help them win out of harm's way a little bit.
All right, he's Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston. Tom, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you Wednesday on Dale and Keefe.
All right. Great week.
See you,
thanks,
Tom.
Guys. Have a great
See
season.
See you, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Tom brought to you by Zudy. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zudy.com for details. And by Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros. We will get to Tom's comments on some of the guys that you can build around. The question that Fourier asked of some of the guys that you like, some of the young guys on this team that you like. We'll do that. Get to your phone calls, too, on Cam Newton or whatever else you want to talk about as it relates to this Patriots team. 617-779-7937. You're listening to NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
OMF. Weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
The 6-9 Patriots close out their season today against the 2-13 New York Jets. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. We'll have the full list of inactives coming out at 11:30, but we already know no Damian Harris, David Andrews, or Shaq Mason for New England. Jets are expected to part ways with head coach Adam Gase following today's game. The Jacksonville Jaguars, owners of the number one overall pick in the upcoming draft, expected to move on from their head coach Doug Marrone this offseason and are rumored to be in talks with former Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer. Celtics look to improve to 4-3 today when they face the Detroit Pistons at 3 o'clock. And the Sox interested in relief pitching as Alex Colomé is on their radar. Colomé had 12 saves and a .81 ERA in 22 innings for the White Sox last year. Colomé also was with Heim Bloom and the Rays from 2013 to 18. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Bastiat studios. Bastiat. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
Broadcasting from our Bastiat studios, this is NFL Sunday. Keith Fourier and Wiggy here with you, taking up until 1 o'clock on WEEI. You can join us at 617-779-7937. You can stream the show anywhere, WEEI.com or the radio.com app. We just had Tom E. Curran on the program, and Fourier asked him about some of the guys who maybe you can build around and maybe you can, a positive future with. And he mentioned Michael Onwenu, who's been a great rookie find for them on the offensive line, Kyle Duggar, who has shown glimpses. Wiggy, I know you're not as high on Kyle Duggar as Curran is or others might be.
Mm-hmm.
And Damian Harris. You guys agree with that list? And is there anybody else you'd want to add to it?
Well, it was. I think that's what was funny to me is I was looking for him to give a comment on, the one glaring hole that has been ignored for so long at the tight end position. Like those two guys, are we giving them Keen and Asiasi? I mean, okay, are those penny stocks? Are you even? Are you trying to dump those? Or are you holding on to them to
you
see
can't
because
dump
you think
them,
they're going
right?
to go up in value?
You can't dump them yet. You gotta see that through.
But
at least
another
year.
Like Bill has done that before, right? Bill has dumped guys after a year where he's like, yeah, but here's the issue that I have with those two. Now I know, okay. My boy Asiasi, you know, maybe it was, I don't know what it is, but it's just to think that these two guys together have a combined, what, two catches?
Yeah, maybe one.
Maybe one catch. Maybe Keene might have one catch on the air. And they played.
I think they have like 8 yards combined, the two of them.
Right, but they played in a number of games where you would think, okay, maybe if Asiasi has like 6 catches on the season and Keene has like 7, you might have saw something like it's just, you know, it's the
Didn't
offense.
Did you think Asiasi was going to have a few more than that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that Rich, so that's why I'm wondering, like, that's why I'm not like, there's no, like, I would not be surprised if he moved on from these guys because the fact that they're not able to even contribute in any way in the passing game, It's got to be eye popping, right?
But I just think that's way too soon. We've seen a lot of rookies basically redshirt for the Patriots.
But redshirt means you don't play. A redshirt means you don't play. You're on special teams. You know, you're not really getting the field. But when you're actually playing and you're getting reps, come on. I mean, you look.
But these guys
the
have missed games too, though, Wiggy. Like they it's not like they've been out there for 15 games. They've both missed time.
No, but they both, I would say, have played in significant amount of playing time.
Keene's played in 5 games. Dalton Keene's
right,
played in 5 games. Asiasi has played in...
How many games has he played in? 8?
I don't know.
All right, but I guess the point...
Because I'm looking at the stats, and since he hasn't registered a single stat, he's not on this list.
Well, I would say this. I would say this just from Literally watching the up. Game. Just from watching the game. And Christian, I'll ask you. Just from watching it... They've been given an opportunity, right, to make some plays. And it doesn't have to be a lot. I'm not looking for – well, if you're playing 5 games and there's nobody
really in front of you. I would look at the targets and some of the – so a couple shallow crosses, you know, a couple – I mean, I don't think they've gotten any opportunity because I would say the guys that are hurt the most by this is not Cam Newton talking about, oh, I wish I would have had preseason. Mm-hmm. It's the rookies – who came from a completely different offense and then on top of it got hurt and never were able to kind of – they don't know what they're doing. I look at those tight ends and I go, they don't know what they're doing. They have no clue. And
how hard is it to run a corner out?
It's easy to run a corner out, Wiggy. That's not the point. The point is I don't even think that they're running a corner route. And if they are, it's an SFN. It's a sprint for nothing. Just get out of the way. And I would say – like, so they run some shallow crosses that none of them caught. They ran – Asiasi ran a couple routes, like, as a basic cross, you know, 10 yards, and it was almost intercepted. It's like, how do you even get into a rhythm? Like, I am hard on tight ends, obviously. Uh-huh. But I just, like, I'm like – it's incomplete. It's worse than incomplete.
See,
you're not hard on tight ends. You think Ryan Izzo's good?
Right. Here's and Rich.
No,
Rich,
that's the you're exaggerating that. I said based on his skill set, I think he reached it. I'm not saying he's great. He reached his skill set. His ceiling.
Well,
he reached it.
Well,
here's what I would say.
Me too,
Rich. Here's what I would say. I'm hotter on tight ends than Christian is. Because here's what I would say. Dalton Keene, we know he's played in 5 games. And
Five games. He has 2 catches for 10 yards.
Right. And Asiasi's played in a little bit more than
8. He's played in 8 games. And he actually played a lot of snaps last week against Buffalo. He played by far his most snaps. Of 94% of the offense.
So here's what I would say. I came over to the Patriots and during the 2000 season. Yep. At the last 4 games of the season, I came over. I got released by the Jets. The Patriots picked me up on a Tuesday. We played on Monday night against the Chiefs. I caught like 5 catches and had a touchdown.
You're burying the lead. You got released by the Jets.
Yeah, well, I got released by the Jets.
They fired you because they didn't know what you could do.
They knew what I could do. I was the third string tight end.
But they released you.
Yeah, they released me because they wanted to put me on practice squad and they wanted to bring back what the hell was his name? Washington. Leon Washington. Leon Washington was our punt returner, right? So
he's good.
to bring They wanted to bring him back, so I was the third string tight end. It was Anthony Beck, Fred Baxter, and me. They wanted to put me on practice squad.
Wow, you couldn't beat out Fred Baxter?
Well, and Anthony Beck was a first-round draft pick.
I'm not saying Anthony Beck was good. He was good.
Right, but Fred Baxter had been in the league for like 9 years at that point in time.
Time to move on, Jets.
Right, so here I was, and they released me, and then I get to New England, and the last four games of the season, I have like 17 catches, you know, a couple touchdowns. All I'm saying is that when given the opportunity where you don't have, it's not like they have a legitimate number one tight end in front of them where they're like, all right, these guys are not getting their opportunities. They have plenty of opportunities.
Shut your mind! Man, they're not getting plenty of opportunities.
Yes, they are. If you played in eight games,
when you were a rookie, you're using yourself as an example, and I think it's not fair.
Why?
Because what did you do your rookie year?
My rookie year was on practice squad.
Okay, you were.
I was behind Eric Green.
Christian,
come on, okay. Come on. You know completely different.
You were on practice squad. You couldn't make it.
Guess what I did as a rookie?
I started. Thank you. Okay, every game.
Yay.
So. Because it's like it's not because you weren't a bad player, Wiggy.
No, you're missing it.
You got to treat these guys like you. Like they should be able to give them a pass.
I'm treating these guys like draft picks who, like me, when I was given my opportunity. See, I wasn't given the opportunity because I had other guys in front of me. And so, Rich, you might understand this point. When you're given the opportunity.
I know what it is now. I know what it is.
No. When you're given the opportunity, whether it's five games, eight games, whatever, when you're given the opportunity and nobody's in front of you, you got to at least show me something.
I know what it is with Wiggy. I know.
What is Wiggy?
Lay down on the couch real quick. Get on the couch again.
Good. Okay, get him on there.
I figured out Wiggy. Wiggy, okay. Wiggy, because he was not drafted,
yes,
and because he wasn't afforded the same privileges as draft picks. Which, and when I say that, I mean the benefit of the doubt. You get benefits of the doubt when you're drafted. Hey, mm-hmm. Hey, we drafted this guy. We're going to give them multiple opportunities as a undrafted free agent. You have to constantly prove yourself, and you have to earn it. And it becomes. I think it's a harder road. It's difficult.
Wiggy knows if he played eight games and didn't have a catch, he'd be gone to the next team.
Exactly.
But I also know this, Christian, that eight games is enough of an opportunity. Here's a perfect example.
Yeah,
you got Harrison Bryant playing down with the Cleveland Browns. He's behind a couple tight ends. He has 24 catches on the air and three touchdowns.
He was also the tight end in college football last year, and he was a relatively high pick, wasn't he?
No. He was a fourth-round draft pick.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
So Asiasi and Keene were drafted ahead of him. Okay. Right?
I know, but again, if you throw in – I think, listen, it's hard as a rookie. It is. Everything is harder.
I'm not saying
lifestyle.
It's not.
So when you come in – not only do you come in with no practice whatsoever, then you get hurt, then you have a quarterback in a system that is completely just screwed with. And
I was
going to
say, they don't throw the ball.
It doesn't.
Well. The team doesn't.
They're not a throwing team. They're a running team. So when they do.
Excuse. This sounds like you always say with me and Cam Newton.
I'm not making excuses for him.
That's what it sounds like.
Your history. I don't think you should be able to talk about this.
You need to sit this one out.
I feel like he's affected by his own experiences, which doesn't allow him to evaluate
these guys.
He's not
seeing clearly on this.
No, he's not. I'm seeing very clearly. It's cloudy.
If anybody doesn't see clearly,
it's Christian because Christian was a high-round draft pick. As soon as he got in the league, he
was handed the starting job. Didn't even work out. He was handed the starting job.
Well, it might not have been handed to him, but he was given.
Carlester Crumpler had to beat him out.
He was given. He was given the opportunity to beat Carlester Crumpler out. Algie's older brother, who wasn't even half
Paul
the
Green.
Player Algie was, right? So he was given that opportunity. And Christian,
he signed his contract, he beat him.
Christian took advantage
Trey
of
Duncan.
It. He took advantage of it. Don't give me this, that Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene. They are playing behind Ryan Izzo. Ryan Izzo's not even Carlester Crumpler.
No, he's not.
If you can't
Crumpler. That is the greatest name of all time.
So come on, man. Stop making excuses for these guys.
I'm not Let me go to the judge. Let me go to Judge Keith. Please rule. Please give us rule a on this on one. This.
Yes.
Please.
You cannot give up on these guys after one half season during COVID. Wiggy, you were even saying it before about Cam Newton, and he didn't have an offseason. So these rookies didn't have an offseason. We've seen a lot of rookies do nothing for the Patriots and then contribute, whether it be James White, Damian Harris, whoever. And these guys, you got to give them at least another year.
Now,
that doesn't mean you pencil them both in as starters next year, but they're both on the team.
I'm not saying you give up on them, but I would not be surprised if Bill did pull the plug because of whatever he's seeing. And that's why I'm saying for me as a spectator who's not there every day, who's looking at it from the outside in and going, wait a second, Ryan Izzo is their starting tight end. And they've been given the opportunity to play, and they can't do better in the passing game than Ryan Izzo. I mean, even if they had Ryan Izzo's stats for the season, what's he got, like 15 catches?
Yeah, I'll give you the one example that you have. So the two guys that jump out to me were both second-round picks. Rozai Dowling, who was always hurt, he lasted two seasons here before he was gone. The best example you would have is Duke Dawson.
Yes.
Duke Dawson was a second-round pick, was here for 1 year, and then he was gone. So I guess, you know, to your point, it wouldn't be.
What about the other guy from Alabama, that one dude that couldn't catch a punt to save his life? He was
Cyrus Jones? I want to say he got 2 years.
Yeah, he got, but still, high round draft. He was like almost like a first round pick.
Yeah, he was. No. He was late second. He was a late second.
Okay, but I would also
you're
say like,
third round picks.
So the other
right.
guy.
No, I know. Higher than those guys. You're right.
But to look at even, you know, I know you guys hate Dan Graham. But even Dan and Ben, neither one of those guys, first-round picks, like neither one of those guys could crack the – they weren't playing. They were not playing them. They were not putting them in positions. They just weren't doing it. They would spot play them, give them little opportunities, but they just weren't willing to trust them. Not saying that, you know, I had a ton to do with that, but it was more of a fact of, like, until we are 100% sure, like, these guys can be trusted – they're not going to play.
But were they given the opportunity? That's
yes.
Okay,
yes.
And so therefore they couldn't outperform you, right?
No, I wasn't doing anything significant. Like blowing up the stat sheet.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is when it came to the passing game, that's what we're talking about. Being able to on this specific pass play, we're making it simple for you. Like you said, they dumbed it down for Cam. On this play, you're running a corner route. You're running a 10-yard out route. So when given the opportunity, whether it's in practice, to show that consistently, okay, if we call this play for this guy, he's going to know how to run a 10-yard out route, catch the ball, make the play, and show that maybe he gives us something. If they can't do that, that's what that's telling me.
Well,
you
my point is that it just takes time. And that is with an offense and a quarterback that is on point. Now you're talking about an offense that is out of control, inconsistent, has no identity, and if you are going to label them with something, they're a running team. So I would also say Dalton Keene and Asiasi, one's a flex guy, the other guy's like a basically a fullback. They don't know what they're doing. They just don't know what they're doing. And not that it's they can't. It's just you don't have any opportunities. So I sit there and I'm not writing them off. I'm not saying that they're going to be great by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
They could easily have missed on these two guys just as well as they missed on N'Keal Harry. So what?
Like, it was supposed to be a bad tight end draft anyway. It was supposed to – the year before they should have drafted tight ends. Last year they should have drafted receivers. They seem to have screwed that up over the last couple of years. But we're talking about young guys – last three drafts or so that you like for this Patriots team going forward into the future. You can join in on the conversation, 617-779-7937. This is NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
Who's Jim? It's Keith Fourier and Wiggy. It's NFL Sunday. It's week 17.
Like, is it 9 o'clock? 8:30? What time is it?
It is 10:53 on the East Coast here. Patriots taking on the Jets at 1 o'clock. We'll get the inactives list coming out at 11:30. We already know. No David Andrews, Shaq Mason, Damian Harris. Yes.
I got those numbers for you.
Numbers. Numbers. Kill us with the numbers.
What numbers?
Devin Asiasi. I have no idea. Did we even ask for numbers? No.
Well, no. I did a deep dive. Devin Asiasi played 178 snaps this season, and Dalton Keene 110 snaps on this season. Okay. There are five guys that were drafted after them that have all they all have better numbers that they have in the passing game, receptions and that kind of thing.
Name them.
Name them. They are. Hold on, because I just clicked off my my thing real quick. So they're Adam Troutman from the New Orleans Saints.
Carlester
Crumpler. Harrison Bryant for the Cleveland Browns. The kid from Denver, Albert. I wouldn't even know how to begin. Abogunge. You know, they played against him. Colby Parkinson, Seattle Seahawks, and Charlie Warner from the San Francisco 49ers, all drafted after Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene with better numbers on the season, and all those guys are rookies. So don't give me they haven't been given their opportunity when you play 110 snaps and 178
snaps. I know, but hold on. Okay,
and you have zero receptions.
Okay, are you still underwater? You're still doing a deep dive?
No, no, I'm back up.
Because get a scuba stuff on.
Because I would like to break it down even further. Because I would like to say, out of those passing opportunities, what happened on the play? So I know the plays
couple
that
drops.
I saw. A couple drops. One pass dropped.
Which doesn't lead to a second pass, though. You know how it works.
Fine. I know how it works. I'm just saying. Like, out of those opportunities, how many of them are realistic opportunities?
Oh.
Does the play break down? Does Cam Newton – I would say Cam Newton's a bigger part of the problem than anything. So so you really have to dive a little bit deeper and say, wow, can this guy really not run – one, can he catch?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if he can catch, great. Can he run a route? Yeah, he's got good feet. He just doesn't know where he's going. So if a guy doesn't know what they're doing or how to find voids and stuff like that, I say I can coach him up on that. I can coach that. But if my offense is, you know, run, play action with the tight end, how many times have you seen the tight end chip and release to the flat? I mean, that is basically their number one route. Chip, check down over the ball, chip, check down into the flat.
Right, and they don't even do that right because they get the quarterback killed.
They do, and I would say your job is not to block the guy. Your job is to get in the way of the guy, not to slow him down, not to block him. So what do you mean they don't do that well? My job is not to block him. If it's to block him, then I'm staying there. They don't. They get in his way. They slow him down. Knucklehead in the back holds onto the ball forever, and then the guy gets sacked. So whose fault is that?
So
did the tight end do his job?
So wait a second. So now Josh McDaniels has the tight end chip on a guy.
He chips and releases.
And a releaser.
Yeah,
and then the guy he chips on, no one blocks him? So that's
whose fault is that?
I would probably say it's probably the offensive lineman's
job. It's the tackle's job for keeping his eyes inside, not being a dope.
Let's say it's not the tight end's fault. But you know how it works. When you make one catch in the game, right, that then leads to more opportunities because now the offensive coordinator has confidence in you and goes, oh, okay, I could throw this guy. Or maybe in practice the offensive coordinator runs some plays where you're actually making plays in practice. And you know how that is. It's as easy as it comes because everything's scripted. Everything is designed. They tell the show team defense, hey, listen, stay off the quarterback. Let the quarterback throw the football. So what this tells me is that you've been given opportunities in games. We know because we have the numbers. So you've probably been given more opportunities in practice, and when your stat line on the season is as a rookie, you played in 8 games and you got 0 catches, and there's nobody in front of you.
But again, you can look at all the other backs. Look at James White's stats. He's the best receiver you got. Look at his stats. How low are they?
I know his stats are low, but
all
Christian,
of them suck.
But all
the stats are lower.
Right, but when you're asking me, when Rich asked the question, do we maybe pull the plug on these guys? When these guys can get on the field.
So you're pulling the plug. You're pulling the plug guy.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
You're going to have to pull the plug on everybody then.
Yeah. Well, no. But at least with a guy like Duggar, right, you said, okay, based on what we've seen,
Yeah,
or
I
what
think he's
Bill's
decent.
He's decent.
Yeah,
you can't even say that about these tight ends.
No, I know.
Off of what we've seen.
But Duggar hasn't missed anything. He's been on the team. He never was missed games or practice because of injury. They played him like a true rookie. They slow played him. They gradually gave him more reps and more responsibilities.
Okay, so you don't want to use Duggar. Teams. Rich, he doesn't want to use Duggar. What about Josh Uche? What about Josh Uche? Would you say, based on what you've seen, or has Keenor Asiasi, have they ever flashed?
They have not. We'll get into another guy here coming up, too, about N'Keal Harry. I want to get Wiggy's thoughts on N'Keal Harry, if he's already ready to write off these two tight ends. Yeah, maybe that'll be the
answer. He'd be in the same aisle Uber as Asiasi.
You can join the show 617-779-7937. You're listening to NFL Sunday. It's presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com. By Zudy. Build any app your company needs fast. Visit Zudy.com for details. By Northeast Electrical and by the New England Recovery Center of Westboro.